this has no meaning. Yesterday afternoon I was studying and stuff, and I could see candles and things. I thought, well, I think I'll just come, maybe do that. This was given to us, Wayne Finley, who I taught a number of years at Glencoe. His uncle had this made for himself because he was an Episcopal Sunday school person, and he wanted his own podium a certain way. And so Wayne gave us that. So this is kind of like a relic, like given to us like that. So I thought that's pretty cool. I don't know how this is going to work, me sitting over here, but I thought I would try sitting on a chair. Now, you've seen some of these chairs sitting around, right? And, wow, I would have made it a little bigger on top. Maybe his Bible is more. This, in the, these chairs, like in the, at my house, I could buy them from Mr. Jordan Furniture. You could buy them, four of them in a box, so I would buy four. And then a couple of months later, I'd buy four more until I had us about, maybe there were 30 total like this. So these are pretty good. They're not split. This is like held up pretty well. And then one time, David Long and Ruthie, I had a tallit, a prayer shawl, which is, I have it now on a window. It's all white, and they told me it was a girl prayer shawl. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but they said, can we give you a prayer shawl, one of David's, that's a guy prayer shawl? So I looked up, and the guys do have blue stripes in them. They have a blue stripe in it. So interesting about a prayer shawl is it has a matching yarmulke to go with it, you know. So the only yarmulke I have is one from a bar mitzvah. It's black, sparkly, because it's a young man becoming of age. And so if you have a prayer shawl and you want to use it, then the time you use it is you can wear it like weddings and funerals. That's a time. You can wear it anytime you want to wear it. You know, we think that maybe the part about Jesus and the lady said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, is probably his prayer shawl. They would wear it around their waist when they're traveling. So they have these knotted parts, if you look at them, and these are names of God in the way that they're knotted. So this is probably what she touched, and he felt power go out. But the prayer shawl, the tallit, this is a Christian one too, so it's got some Christian stuff on it. But it's a portable tent of meeting. So in the morning, when you want to meet with God, you put it up over your head to honor God the Father. You know, and you do it like that. So anyway. So I thought I brought that. So now I end up sitting on it. This little candle in the brown one right there, if you see it, I don't know how long it'll last. We used to have, you remember Radio Shack? I'm still in mourning. My wife, we were watching a movie last night, and there was a sad scene, and it reminded her of sadness, and she said, stop it for a minute. Stopping this show? I said, yes. She says, Bojangles says closed. I love their sweet potato pie, so I'll have to go to some other town now. It fit the TV show. We can cry together. Yes. But there's one across the street from my school. So you want some? I'll pick it up for you on my way home. Wow. Don't tell me that. Yeah, don't tell me. Anyway, this candle is like the Tandy Corporation had three or four businesses, and Radio Shack was one of them, and they had another one, being an art teacher. They had one in our mall a store called American Handicraft. Nobody's as old as me. Jimmy, well, he's an artistic person. So they had all these different craft stuff that you could buy in there. It was backwards, a little bit of art materials and a lot of crafts things. They had a section of candle making. So I made my mother some candles. And you know how mothers are. This was like 1976 or something like that. She still had them when she went to be with the Lord. My brother said, "You want these?" "Yeah, I'll take those with me." So they were on her mantle for like all those years. So every now and then I light it to like, you know. So I have two of them, these homemade little things. The other ones are some I just collected places. And this is Patsy. This is one of. What's the story behind this piece? Something your mother bought. You might have bought it? Okay. It's from my wife's collection and she doesn't know. This is all going to fall off here. Turn with me to Genesis 23, but I'm just going to stay there for a second. There goes my pencil. It's good, Jennifer. But now it bothers you that it's sitting there.
Right. I just didn't want you to try to hit it.
Yeah. Because disaster, maybe? Preventing a disaster. Thank you. So, anything you want. That was a really good worship set, Liz. Like, I think it was the candles that brought it out. Don't you think, Taylor? I mean, the candles maybe probably sent you places that you wouldn't even thought of drumming today. That's what I thought. Yeah. Yeah. We even Liz and I got in here and cut lights off. You're going, half the lights are burned out. No, not really. We just threw some switches in the closet and turned lights off. Yeah. So let me see if I can find the language. I had it earlier when I was talking to Liz as she was setting up. Help, Lord. We have these stories that God wanted us to have. And the stories have the ability to give us insights who God is. And they're just not stories of people, but they're stories he wanted told, and then even the people living at different times. And I know you and I were Gentile Christians, Gentile believers, you know, grafted onto this tree. And you just see all this development going on. Chapter 23 of Genesis is Sarah dies. Sarah's 127. Now, think about that. She had Isaac when she's like 90. So she got to be with her son for 37 more years. And I don't know, Abraham is 137. I've been cleaning out dusty stuff upstairs some yesterday. So he goes to the local Canaanites, and he's been living around Hebron, which is where David will rule the first 7 years, roughly, of when he's king. And, you know, then he'll move to Jerusalem. And so he's living at Hebron, and he buys a piece of land. He pays a guy, as you go through the chapter, their way of saying, I give it to you. No, I want to pay you for it. Well, if you were to pay somebody for it, then 400 pieces of silver wouldn't be a bad price. You know, it's like, this is the way that whether they sell camels that way. Yeah, I'll just give you this camel. But if you were buying a camel like this, this camel's worth, you know, 59 pieces of something or another. So he buys this cave, and the cave faces toward Hebron. And he does all the official buying in the chapter there in front of everybody at the gate of the city. And they deeded over to him from the trees down so far down to this cave. And you realize that this is the only thing he owns in the promised land. He's 137. He's been here walking around and growing his herds and different things. You know, he's been to Egypt for a while and other places. And he's been here since he was 75. So this is like, how many years is that? 50, 67, I don't know. Let's see, he's 137. He's been there at 75. It's a lot. Amy's 62 years already. So he's been there 62 years. He's going to live to be 175. That's like 100 years of hanging out. And most of it will be there in this land. And I was thinking about Sarah and the scripture that talks about unless it dies and you plant it, you know, it's like seed. It's like Sarah is the seed of promise. I mean, she is the first one to stay in the land. The princess. The one that is the very first one. And so it's sad and wonderful. I mean, it has all that kind of like emotional stuff, I guess, around it. Chapter 24 was what I was going to read from. And I thought about this sitting down because it's sort of like like we're a Jewish family, you know, and everybody's sitting around the table and they'll go, "Granddad, tell us a story." You know, I don't have the voice like Mark Peeling, or I could do like his Jewish. When usually I would see Mark, used to, it would be always in like, for some reason it was Food World. When Food World was there, we would meet on some aisle, in the center of the aisle, and for 20 or 30 minutes, we would be having a discussion, and Mark, every other 15 minutes would be, "Jim, you really need to have me come back in your church and speak." Yes, I know, we needed to do that, Mark, sometime, but he had that rabbi rhythm. He just talked like a rabbi. You knew he was a rabbi the second. "Jim, how are you doing?" You know, you could hear it. You could hear that accent. It's kind of the Jewish rabbi way of talking. I won't do that. David could do it. David, that's what we were saying. I didn't know you were coming. We were saying if Dave was here, Dave could totally be in his rabbi mode the whole time and read all of it with his rabbi voice. So I'm totally convinced of that. Yeah. We'll have a bagel one of these days together. It says, "Now Abraham was old, he was advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. And Abraham said to his servant," the oldest of his household, get that, his oldest servant. Now that I'm getting older, these things stand out. Used to, I would have missed that part, but the oldest lit up. It was like it was in red, like Jesus had said it. "The oldest of his household, who was in charge of all that he owned, please place your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live, but you will go to my country and to my relatives and take a wife for my son." Now, this whole thing under the thigh, you got to look up stuff, right? And there are three rabbinical viewpoints of this. Okay. And so it's like, wow, okay. So we have a phrase like testify. Do you know that testify comes from the same root word as the man's body part? Starts with T's. Like, really? I know every word. I know words all come from stuff. Like when we say go downtown, is, you know, that's Manhattan, downtown. Down to the Dutch end of town where they had the wall. Wall Street because there was a wall because there's animals and stuff on the other end, and the Dutch put a wall up. The wall fell down eventually with time, and we have Wall Street. So that's downtown where the Dutch lived on the far end. Yeah, it's like we have all these phrases. I'm never going to be able to say testify again now. It's like it's got a different meaning to it. So another rabbi says, well, you know, well, you can just go without a daughter, I tell you. Give me something else to do. Okay, so the other rabbi said that, that's famous, is that the thigh represents strength. And so if you put your hand under his thigh, it's mean you're honoring his authority because his strength is on your hand and you can't move your hand. That was not bad. That was pretty good. I could at least use that one and not say the other one, you know. But the third one was the one that I like. This is probably it. The third one was, now he's saying he doesn't want Isaac to marry a Canaanite, and you remember God had them set up this this circumcision to mark them as special, right? And the day, and when the God told him one day, and the next day they, or maybe before the day was over, Abraham got all the guys together, and they started this, and then they would do it on the eighth day, you know. And so this guy was there. This is the oldest servant, and so this rabbi said he thought that that's what this was about. Was the symbol was about you've been set apart. I've been, you know, you're part of my household. I've been set apart and all this. I want my son to marry a girl from my people, not local, not from this group who worship other gods. I thought, well, that's pretty good, you know. But you can take whichever, you may come up with find a fourth one. That was enough studying. But I always like, what's this about? You know, it's not a handshake. So the servant says to him, verse 5, but suppose the woman is not willing to follow me to this land. He's a smart servant. Should I take your son back to the land from where you came? That's logical. You don't want her to be married to any Canaanite girls. I got it. You know, I got it from what we're doing here. But can I take him back to your people? Abraham says in verse 6, beware that you do not take my son back there. Okay, I don't want that either. Like, in other words, hey, I've been living here 60-something years. I left everybody to come here and live here. And I believe that what God has promised me, remember the walking the pieces, you know, and that talks even about Egypt. It doesn't say Egypt for 400 years. Your people are going to be in a foreign country, and then they'll come back here, and they'll live in this land, and, you know, and all this stuff. So it even has this, you know, prophetic stuff is really interesting, because that's, what chapter is that, like 15 or something? And it talks about until the thing against the Amorites is completed, the time period. Is that chapter? What chapter is that? 15 something? He says it about the Amorites. It's in 15, like chapter 15, verse 13. He says to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that's not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterwards they will come out with many possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You'll be buried at a good old age. And then in the fourth generation, they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. That's weird talk. But then that's that prophecy stuff. Doesn't that sound like, I'm not trying to make fun of it, but doesn't that sound like Yoda talking to Luke, or, you know, any of the Jedi kind of talk was always got. Yes, you know, they get that from this stuff. The whole idea of that writing of Lucas and them writing, you know, where did they get these ideas? From writings like this. Stuff about prophetic things. They have this obscurity to them. They have this not quite, you don't understand it right then until after it takes place. And then you notice God didn't even tell them it was Egypt. Just said they're going to be taken, they're going to live somewhere for 400 years. So he says, beware that you don't take my son back there. Verse 7, the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, who spoke to me and who swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman's not willing to follow you, then you'll be free from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. But he knew that that's not the way it is. You can hear in the depth of that, Abraham has really learned to know God down through these years. This is a guy talking from what he knows. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, who spoke to me, who swore to me, saying, to your descendants I'll give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. He knows. One of my friends put up a quote, and he was hoping the quote was from Leonard Ravenhill. And I had heard Josh McDowell give it back in like 1971 when I was going to Auburn for a quarter. And Josh had said, and people have quoted this to Leonard and maybe to a couple other pastors, he said, a person with an argument is always at the mercy of a man with an experience. It's true. Doesn't matter how good your argument is, if you have been there and done something or had an interaction, you got them. You speak from that place of conviction. Abraham is a man with experience with God. He was there the night that the smoking flame walked the pieces laying on his face, and the flame is talking to him and telling him his whole future and his children's children, four generations futures later. All this stuff. He knows these things. He misses Sarah, I would think. I would think he thinks about Ishmael every so often. And about Isaac, and about going to the mountain, and almost sacrificing him. I mean, all this is in there. My son needs a wife. You are my most trusted servant. I want you to go get a wife from my family. Now you remember he's got two brothers, Nahor, who's still, he's stayed up in the area that they renamed for his brother who died, Lot's dad, Haran. They named the place Haran. So Nahor has been still living up there above Damascus. Now, I looked it up. It is about 468 miles up there. Again, this is a person who travels and drives to Indianapolis often. So, I know it's 508 miles from my front door to the house where our children live up there. So I know, I can tell you where all the best Starbucks are, which ones don't go to. Believe it or not, there are people that make lattes and they don't put espresso in them. How is this possible? I know it. I should put a sign out or something. Like, these, God bless them, but they don't know what they're doing here at this store. Instead of in this store, turn left, go down to McDonald's, get some McDonald's coffee. It's better. I'm not trying to do this rabbi thing. I keep hearing this rabbi accent coming out of me, sort of. I don't know what's happening. It's because I'm Bless, bless Mark. It's because David's in the room. Okay, so so it's 468 miles one way. That's 17 days in normal camel speed. Now, this is a 17-day mission he's sending him on. 17 days on a camel. You're an old guy. An old guy. An old guy going for your old boss, who you love. Who you love his son. Who you love, you know, everybody. The whole, I mean, you're part of the family. You've been in this a long time. So the servant agrees, verse 9. So the servant places his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. And then the servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master. Take a lot of good stuff. They set out with a variety of good things of his master's in his hand, and he arose and went toward Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well, now that he's made it 17 days, at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today. Show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring. The daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also. That's a big deal. Some young girl is going to be willing to, there's 10 camels here. The camels lack water. Okay. Okay, so water your camels also. May she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I'll know that you have shown loving kindness to my master. Verse 15, before he had finished speaking, now he's saying this in his head, not out loud. Before he finishes laying out what he wants to see happen, it says, behold, Rebekah, who was born to the eighth son of Nahor, his brother, okay, comes out with a jar on her shoulder. Son number eight, his child. Verse 16, the girl was very beautiful, a virgin, and no man had had relations with her. And she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Now, you know, depending on your age, all these things stand out differently. When you're young, And you're the kids at the dinner table and granddad's telling the story, you know, and passing this on. And they say, and she was very pretty. Ooh, that's what I want, granddad. I want to marry a pretty girl. Or the girl's going, I hope I'm pretty enough to be like somebody that Isaac would want to marry. You know. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. No, that was my girl voice. I'm not sure I can do it. I don't know what Jewish girl. Let's see. Jewish girls talk like my mother. Hey, eat something. You're skin and bones. Yeah, David, I knew you could do both of them. That's good. I need hand puppets, and you and I, we could do a puppet show of all this. And I know it sounds like I'm making. I'm not making fun of this. This stuff is really meaningful to me. No, really. Really. I'm closer in age to Abraham than I am to the beautiful young girl. Or the handsome young Isaac. So they think about, when I was their age, I probably thought about stuff that they thought about. Oh, I hope he's cute. Hope she's cute. Oh, whatever. You know, when you're older, you got a different list. I can't imagine Sarah's list. You know, she's given up a long time ago, and then God says, nope, you're going to have a baby. You know, comes up with her plan about Hagar, and, well, I'll take care of this. I got a cute Egyptian girl they gave me when we were down, and I was being his sister, which was half true. And you know that whole story. So now I'm kind of like in the role of the servant, the old servant. I'm younger than Abraham, but I'm old. I have been bouncing up and down on a camel for 17 days. I want this to work. I want to get the right girl. I want to please. I love Abraham. I want to please him. I love Isaac. I want him to have the right one. Cute girl. She's coming down just as I'm saying these things in my head to God. Verse 17, and the servant ran to meet her. And I don't know how fast an old servant runs after 17 days on a camel, but you know, he's getting there. And he says, please let me have a drink of water from the from your jar. You know, she's the first one. There's other ones coming. That one, she seems to stand out to me. I don't know how many's there yet, or maybe she's the only one right that minute. And she says, verse 18, drink, my lord. She quickly lowers her jar to her hand, gave him a drink. It's not bad. Verse 19, now when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw also for your camels until they have finished drinking. Yeah, oy vey. That's close, right? Kind of Jewish? Okay. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw, and she drew for all 10, for all his camels. And while the man was gazing at her, now New American says in silence, but it's like literally he's keeping silent, to know whether the Lord has made his journey successful or not. She's done the two things that I've just said in my head to God. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring that weighed half a shekel, it's a big ring, two bracelets for a wrist weighing 10 shekels in gold, and says, whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room for us to lodge in your father's house? And she said to him, I'm the daughter of Bethuel. Now, that's really close to the word Bethel, house of God. It means, his name means dweller. Dweller with God. I think that's what it means. Thought I got that all written down. I didn't write that down. It's one that dwells with God. And then, you know, she's a son of Micah, whom she bore to Nahor. Okay, and verse 25, again she said to him, we've got plenty of straw and feed and room to lodge in. Then the man in 26, the servant, he bows low and worships the Lord. I bet he does. Oh my goodness. She did both things that I said, and she's of the right. She's of the family. This is. Yeah. That's awfully close. I mean, that's like really, like, could it be this easy? Like, this is exactly what Abraham said to me. I mean, I wouldn't be able to talk if I was him. He said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, for he's not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth toward my master. And he's meaning me too. He says, and as for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brothers. Then the girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban's going to be the father of next generation's children. Rachel's going to be one of his, is going to be his daughter. She and Leah, but that's another story. And Laban means the dad is gone on to be with the Lord. Mom's alive, and Laban. Laban ran outside to the man at the spring, and when he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, this is what the man said to me. He went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring, and he said, come in and blessed are the Lord. Why stand outside? I've got the house prepared, a place for the camels. Verse 32, so the man entered the house, and Laban unloaded the camels like a young guy would do, and he gave straw and feed the camels to water, washed his feet and the feet of the men who were with him, his whole little crowd. But when food was set before him to eat, he said, I'll not eat until I've told my business. And so Laban says, speak up again. I'm older. What is he saying? Hey, I got to cut to the chase. I've been 17 days on a camel. I got to know, is this going to work out or not? Like, or I'm not, I'm going straight for, I'm getting cutting to the chase here. He says, the Lord has greatly blessed my master, verse 35, so that he has become rich. He's given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys. He's got it all. Now Sarah, my master's wife, bore him a son to my master in her old age. Yeah, 90. And he's given him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house and to my relatives and take a wife for my son. I said to my master, suppose the woman doesn't follow me. He said to me, the Lord before whom I have walked, he will send his angel with you to make your journey successful. And you will take a wife for my son from my relatives and from my father's house. And then you will be free from my oath. When you come to my relatives, if they do not give her to you, you'll be free from my oath. So I came today to the spring. I said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you'll make my journey on which I go successful, behold, I am standing by the spring. May it be that the maiden who comes out to water, to draw, and to whom I say, please let me drink a little water from your jar, and she'll say to me, you drink, and I'll draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came out with a jar on her shoulder, went down to the spring, drew. I said to her, please let me drink. She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will. Don't you know Jewish people just love going back over and over? No wonder my mother, like, yeah, my mother must, I know she wasn't Jewish, but this is my house. This is the way I was raised. All the stories were told 150 times, every word of it again. And you sit there, and hopefully before dinner, to go through all the parts. So, Laura, you didn't have a chance because, you know, when I start doing this, this is because of your grandmother and, you know, because granddad, old man Jack, as they would say, was more like Archie Bunker. Dad would say something, he would hold the newspaper and go in front of his head, really, up in the air, just like Archie. Ah! Which means, get on with it. She quickly lowered the jar from her shoulders, 46. Said, drink, and I'll water your camels also. So I drank, and she watered the camels. And then I asked her, I said, whose daughter are you? And she said, well, I'm the daughter of the dweller of God, Nahor's son, number 8, whom Michael bore to him, and I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrist, and I bowed low and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord and the God of my master Abraham, who had guided me in the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. So now, if you're going to deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. If not, let me know. I got to get back on a camel, that I may turn to the right or to the left. And Laban and Bethuel replied, well, I guess the dad is alive. I thought that's the first time I've noticed it. I've read this like 12 times. Okay, so, the old guy's alive. The matter comes from the Lord, so we can't speak to you, bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son as the Lord has spoken. When Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the ground before the Lord. Oh, this is so going so well. You know, it's falling in place. The servant brought out articles of silver and articles of gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. And he also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night. And when they rose in the morning, he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, well, let the girl stay with us a few days. Say 10. Afterwards, she'll go. Like, wait a minute. This is like moving too fast. You know, they want to kind of let this sink in. He said to them, don't delay me. Now, I don't know why he's saying this, except he's an old guy. He's got 17 more days on the camel looking ahead. I think about that. On the other hand, maybe he thinks, well, Sarah's died. I don't want to take too long. Abraham might be dead when I get back. Although Abraham is going to live to be 175. He's got plenty of time. But, you know, I just think he's a, I'm going to put my money on that he's an old guy and he's just wants to get back to his bed, his tent. I want to go home. I want to sleep on my Tempur-Pedic tent, mattress, whatever. Or they wouldn't have had numbered beds because they wouldn't have electricity. So it had to have been some other kind of bed. Don't delay me since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. 57. And they said, we'll call the girl and consult her wishes. So they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? She'll say, I will go. Thus they sent away their sister, Rebekah, and her nurse with Abraham's servants and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, now listen to the blessing. May you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. But that part right there, may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. Remember when he doesn't kill Isaac and the angel speaks to him a second time over in, is that 22? Yes, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham, verse 15, a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I'll greatly bless you and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed, our descendants, shall possess the gate of their enemies. Now we're in two different places. This is being said to Abraham. This is being said by the relatives to Rebekah about the gates. So as you and I, as Christians, no matter what's coming next, we need to lean into this. This is our inheritance. The gates of our enemies. This is real stuff. This is warfare stuff.
Yeah, it says, and then in the New Testament, it says the gates of hell will not prevail.
Yes. So whatever you run into in Korea by surprise, you go, let me pull aside. Let me go in the, let me, I'll be back in a minute. You know, and you kind of like, get back in touch with this. Who is Amy Brown? Child of the Most High. Possessor of the gates of the enemies of the King, who she is an ambassador to. This is stuff we run into every so often, all around the earth as Christians. And you don't know today, tomorrow, when's the next time. All of a sudden, you're in a warfare zone, and you didn't even see it coming. Okay, 61. So Rebekah rose with her maids, and they mount the camels and followed the man. And so the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now, Isaac had come from going to this place, and I didn't look it up, so I don't know what it means, and was living in the south country, in the Negev. Now, he's been staying further south than he's been raised. And I think this is about his mom. I think he's grieving his mom. I think he's gone to a different part. You know, I'm just going to go down, take a little trip, go down there. Everything will be okay. And it says 63, Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening. He's communing with God. He's in pain, grieving probably. I can't prove it. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. And she said to the servant, who is that man standing in the field to meet us? And the servant said, he is my master. Then she put her veil on and she covered herself. Now, back up to the dismounted from the camel. That's what my New American Standard says. You know, y'all know that I love listening to Simon Ponsonby, the Brit guy that was a meat car. He was a butcher before he became a minister. He says, we missed this. He says, he knows Hebrew really well. He says, in the Hebrew, it says that when she saw Isaac, she fell off of the camel. I think it's that phrase when we talk about falling for somebody. It's sort of like, this is probably where it comes from. It probably got into our language from this right here. When she sees him, oy vey, hey, he's cute. Wow, you know, she just misses the stirrup or whatever, and she's falling. She's going to literally fall for him. That's cute stuff, I guess. Cute. I'm a guy. Guys don't say cute. Well, that's quite interesting. Is that good? So he is my master. She put her veil on, covered, you know, going to do it properly. 66, the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I was telling Patsy that last night, going, you know, I never thought about that, mother's tent. Girls' tent's probably softer than boys' tents. Girls would have, you know, Sarah, they had money. She would buy some stuff when the caravans were coming through. She'd go, ooh, no, I don't like the way that feels. Ooh, yeah, I like that one. Let me buy that piece of cloth there. She would have stuff that a girl would like. You know, he'd give her, like, you get the best tent. You get the tent the girls like. Yeah, the Mary Kate. A lot of pink in that one. So, it's 1 minute till 12. I just think it's tender. I just think it's a tender story. Servant sweating bullets. But Abraham's going, I'm going to draw on all my history with God. You'll pick the right one. The right one will... You'll come back with the right one. I'm sure of it. And it happened. The guy prayed the stuff. You know, one time I was, I can't even remember. This is a long time ago, okay? And I had parked in the back alley in the other building, and I let myself in. And in the other building, when our alarms were working properly, you had 45 seconds to get to the keypad at the front, or it called the police, which it really did call the police back then. So I open the lock and I start running for the front door, right, for the keypad. As I'm running toward the keypad, there's two people with their looking into the through the glass, and I can tell that one of them's Tammy Rowe. And I said, just a minute. Yeah, I put the keypad in and I unlocked the door. I said, what y'all doing? Oh, I just wanted to tell. And I don't know what the girl's name was. I wanted to tell my friend, she's Rebecca's, my daughter's dance instructor. She was here in town, and I wanted her to see the church, and I was just going to see if you were around. She needs prayer. Okay. So this is one of those 15 seconds windows. Had I not been coming, I wouldn't have, you know how that goes. They walk in. I invite God. God totally falls on her. She ends up laid out on the floor and crying and praising God and all this stuff. And you go, wow. Now, on God's timetable, there was no perspiration involved. It was exactly on time. To me, you know, you walk away after you're gone going, wow, I could have missed that. Not really. But it feels that way, doesn't it? When you have those, it is divine encounters. They're out there. You've got some more any day now. It may be today. Something, some phone call, some event, somebody you're going to run into, and it's going to look like happenstance, and it's not. It's right on time. That's your father, your papa, working. And we got the room's full of stories like this if we all start telling those stories. So, y'all be blessed. May you all have a good week. Call each other. Like, you know, if you find yourself falling out of the boat and you can't find the life preserver, call somebody. Help. Pray for me. Let me come see you. Let's meet somewhere. Let's go to Bojangles, wherever there one is. And we'll reminisce of the sweet. They shouldn't have built it there anyway. I knew it wasn't a good location. I don't know. No. So. Want to be done? You could just stand around and offer to pray, or you're going to go play. You're going to go play some. Okay. She's going to come play some. Somebody needs some prayer. Chris is walking over toward the carpet over there because it's softer than this part of the floor. Thank you for this Lord's Day. Thank you, Lord, for these stories in Scripture, Genesis, old servants that are willing to ride 34 days on camels. In Jesus' name, amen.